Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tales of mystery and imagination on the radio show that does things differently.
Dolly Parton, I listen to a record all day long.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
I'm a nut job, but not that kind of nut job.
On Talk Radio.
Honest to God, it's the new Breaking Bad.
Oh no!
Hello!
Wow!
Dirty cover.
Wow!
Horny.
Oh man, what a song. What a song. I'm going to be honest, if you listen to the Tim Heidecker podcast, Office Hours, I nicked it from that this way. That's Fanny. I've heard of Fanny, but I've never heard of Fanny. Four piece, all girl rock group, rock and roll group from the United States of America in the early 1970s. And they sound incredible. Absolutely, you know, incredible. So they're my new favourite band. And I don't know, I know very little about them, but I know I love Fanny.
You're a pervert.
Steady. What did you think of it?
It wasn't even good enough to be shit.
Well, that's a terrible start to the show. The Late Night Alternative, Ian Lee, that's me. Who that over there?
Catherine Boyle.
Yes, all right. That's what I'm talking about. What are you doing?
These headphones keep sliding out, so I'm using these ones from across the desk.
It tastes so delicious. It tastes so good. It tastes so hot. Welcome to the show, the first show of the week. My back is killing me. My legs are killing me. But do you know what? The vibe is strong with this one. We are going to go to places unknown. And we're going to start there with a high energy. Oh, hang on a minute. Don't tell me the... Oh, flipping it. Oh, man. Can you put Dredge on line one for me, please, while I close phone box and reopen phone box? Because it don't work. Good evening, Dredge.
Hello. Good evening and welcome.
Oh, yes. Look at you saying the words of, I want to say John Craven. I think I've had some kind of brain injury over the week.
Right.
Because when I'm trying to think of the certain people, I can't think of them. And I mean Nick Frost. I mean David Frost. Got there in the end. You're saying the words of David Frost, but not in the voice of David Frost.
In the voice of Kenny Everett.
It's can we do a little... this is how we're going to start the show, and it's going to be a great show tonight. If you've got a blank cassette, put it in. If you've not got a blank cassette, then I suggest you tape over whatever you've got on your cassettes. We're going to start with a little round of a game. We haven't played it for a while. It's called Do the David Frost, OK? So we're going to each do our David Frost impression. Sharon?
Yes?
You're playing Do the David Frost. Is that all right?
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay. We've got to do our David Frost impressions. I'll go first. It's me, then it's Dredge, then it's Catherine, and then it's Sharon. Here we go.
Right.
Hang on. Hello, good evening, and welcome. Dredge.
Hello, good evening, and welcome.
Hello, good evening, and welcome.
You've heard of David Frost, yeah? Oh, hang on, sorry.
Good evening and welcome.
I'm better saying, as we go through the keyhole.
You could have said that, but why did you... All right, we're going to go again, but this time, Kath's choosing the phrase. Kath, you go first.
Join me now as we go through the keyhole.
OK, Dredge.
So,
You'd have to be very small to get through the keyhole.
He's freestyling.
Thank you, Lloyd, as we go through the keyhole.
It's not Bruce Forsyth.
Shut up, shut your face, that was
it
good.
It sounds like Frank Spencer.
Shut up. Sharon?
I'm far too fat to get through the keyhole.
Wow, people are talking about literally going through an actual keyhole. These are incredible scenes. Okay, I would say the winner of that is probably me.
Oh.
I think I was the best. Well, hang on a minute. We can get somebody. Don't worry, guys. Everyone thinks there's a little bit of a swizz going on. Let's bring in someone impartial. If I do that, I wonder if I can drag you down here. Does that system allow? Nope, system doesn't allow for a conference call. Let's see if we can drag Stephen. Good evening, Stephen.
Good evening.
Before we get to your main meat and two veg,
yeah.
Who was the best? In reverse order, let's be kind. Third, second and first. We won't mention fourth, but I think we'll all know who it is when you don't mention their name. The best David Frosts from third, second and first, please.
I don't want to do third because that's unfair.
No, it's not.
Well, OK, I don't want to do third because I can't remember any names other than yours and Dredge's. There's the truth.
Well, hang on a minute. You can't remember Catherine's?
Oh, yeah, OK. Hi, Kath.
Hello, I live here.
You don't remember Sharon?
No, I don't remember Sharon. Sharon, that's mean. I'm sorry. Hi,
that
guys.
Is mean, Sharon, isn't it?
Do it again. Yeah. Everyone have another go. Go on, and I'll be the judge.
Right, OK. Well, we're going to have to put you... Hang on a minute, because this system here won't let us do conference calls, so I'm going to move you... Stay there. You're coming back.
This time.
Shut your face.
What's this guy's name again?
I got no idea. Right, so we're going to do it again, and it's freestyle. You can say anything you want in the style of Sir David Frost. Let's start with Kath.
Hello, good evening, and welcome.
There's a lot of physicality going into that, which is a shame because the voice is awful. Expounding far too much energy. Let's go to Sharon. Sharon, second.
Oh, it's so hot.
Piss hot?
So hot.
It's so hot?
Yeah.
When did he ever say that?
You did.
I did, but I'm not David Frost. I mean, they're numpties. All right, OK, fine, that's your go.
OK, I'll go. I took the medicine, I got small, and I got through the keyhole.
This woman's nuts. OK. We go over, and tonight on through the keyhole,
through the keyhole.
Shut up. Tonight on Through the Keyhole,
a little bit of trouble,
is the marvellous Eve Thomas. Is that her name? The lady with the big bazoombas?
No, who's and that?
A very talented newspaper publisher, I mean.
Oh, Pollard.
Eve, tonight on Through the Keyhole, our special guest is Eve Pollard. Hello, Eve. Good evening and welcome. Dredge?
Hello, Betty. Good evening and welcome. Well.
This guy's getting on my nerves. All right, we'll come back.
You done a whoopsie in a cuppy.
I'll do a whoopsie in your face in a minute. Steve, it's over to you, Steve. The judge's decision is final.
OK, I'm going to have to give it to... on the basis that...
Third, second, first. Don't give it to anyone.
OK, fine. Third will have to be Sharon, even though I suspect she's on narcotics. I don't quite know what she was talking about. Third place, nonetheless.
Wow. Hang on a second. Sharon, drugs are very, very trendy at the moment. They are on message. Are you on drugs?
No.
Have you ever done drugs?
Yes, and I used to go to CA meetings, and now I'm off them.
Okay. I went to CA meetings, but honestly... For those that know, it's Cocaine Anonymous. It's like I always thought it was weird that there's a meeting for a specific drug. It's like having Whiskey Anonymous, right? You know, for
I don't know those guys.
Well, no, but those meetings, they really rattle through it, don't they? It's a real right. Who's going to read out the 12 steps? Right, my name's Ian. I'm Cocaine. So say these are the 12 steps to follow our traditions and other. Well, Matt, I found those meetings very, very intense.
Yeah.
What do you think about Gova? Naughty, 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 naughty boy.
Who?
Okay, well, that's her finger on the pulse. Okay, so she's third. Who is...
Remind me to ask you about that awkward moment when you asked Kelsey Grammer about cocaine.
awkward.
No, it wasn't awkward.
Oh, it was. Oh no, we'll come back to it.
All right, we'll come back to it in a minute.
I'm judging at the moment.
It might. Okay, but I thought there were more awkward moments than that. But okay, fine.
Okay, cool.
Go on. Okay, so Sharon is there. Sharon, we'll come back to you in a minute. I promise. Who's second?
No, I swear. I wanted to give it to Dredge, but he was silly and did Frank Spencer,
silly.
So he's lost it. I'm going to have to by default give it to Cass.
Yes, mate.
Second.
Sorry, mate. Going to have to, by default, give it to you second.
You're second?
Oh.
So I'm first?
Yeah. And so that's all the
what a bum lick.
So, no, it's not...
I don't want your prize.
It's not bum lickery.
It's dipped in bum.
It's accuracy. It's all it is accuracy. Hey, listen. We had a judge. We all agreed we'd abide by the judge. We got Stephen, although, you know, anyway. All right, listen, we're going to take a break then. We're going to speak to Stephen and Dredge, who are both at the gala event. Actually, I don't know what a gala event is. Just don't be stroppy, because you can't do David Frost. Right. They were both at the event I hosted last night, an evening with Kelsey Grammer. Excuse me, I was burped then. The group at the start was Fanny, and I'd never heard of them until today, until I listened to Office Hours with Tim Heidecker, and he played some Fanny. That is it. But they're a... Grow up.
Oh, dear.
Grow up.
It means bum in America, doesn't it?
Grow up. I've decided I want this show to be more mature.
Okay.
And it starts here. I love Fanny. I want to go online tonight and see if I can get my hands on some Fanny. I just want to dive deep into Fanny. I want to...
What, old Fanny?
I want to... Well, this Fanny's like 50 years old, yeah. This Fanny's 50 years old. I want to just order as much Fanny as I can get.
70s Fanny, yeah.
Yeah, I want to get some nice 70s Fanny. And I just want to devour it. I want to devour this old Fanny. So we'll talk about that. But it was so much more mature, Catherine, than you. So there. And then we're going to talk about lots of other things. 0344 499 1000. This, dear listener, is Talk Radio.
Talk Radio. Contact Talk Radio. Call 0344 499 1000. Text Talk and your message to 87222. Texts cost 25 pence plus your standard network rate. Or you can tweet us at Talk Radio.
This is Talk Radio.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
By the way, Donna Marie, it's a niche phone-in. Have you seen her tweet?
Yeah, it's quite visual for the
radio. Here's a highbrow subject for the show. Shadows that look like celebrities. I have Pete Townsend on my ceiling. And she actually does. I've retweeted it. Thank you, Donna Marie. There is a shadow in the shape of Pete Townsend. Not just the powerful Roman nose, the stern upper lip, and the big forehead. There's Pete Townsend in shadow form.
Remarkable.
I don't get shadow puppetry. I think it's a con. I think it's a con. I think it's a trick. Because it's just fingers, isn't it? It's fingers. It's light behind fingers. Cause it making a shadow, right?
Yeah.
So it's not really a bird. It's not really a rabbit.
That's the skill, though, isn't it?
Huh?
But that's the skill, though, isn't
it? No. There's no skill to
it. Do you want
there
to be an actual rabbit there?
Well, yes.
It wouldn't be a puppet, would it?
Well, in a thing I saw when
just
I was very...
called shadows.
Well, it's not a puppet. Here's the thing I saw when I was a kid. Those shadows came alive. That doesn't happen in real life. That is not the thing that happens. So, no, shadow puppets are a con. And anybody who goes, do you want to see my shadow puppets, is a Jeremy Hunt.
What, two things?
Yeah.
Who says that?
Hmm? Just people do all the time, mate.
And I'm surprised. See my shadow puppets.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They say that to you.
People say that all the time. Like if you're stuck in a log cabin, you're snowed into a log cabin, and you've run out of literature, then someone will say, "Do you want to see my shadow puppets?" And I go, "Yeah."
She also say, "You're a very dirty birdie."
Okay, I don't know cock and doody words. We've got Stephen and Dredge on. Stephen and Dredge are two of my favourite guys.
Oh, Dredge, by the way, thanks so much for last night.
No problem, you still owe me the money.
Oh.
Wow, Catherine's paying Dredge for sex?
No.
Right, you're so close. Delete that picture. Someone's just sent me a picture of a hairy ass. You're muted, 8-bit man. Ooh. You're muted, because I don't want to see that in my timeline. You're muted.
I do, I'm just going to...
No, it's disgusting. Right, so last night, an evening... with Kelsey Grammer, hosted by Ian Lee, at the Aldwych Theatre, a sold-out event. I can't talk. It was my birthday. Here's the weird thing, guys. It was my birthday, right? And Kelsey Grammer sang Happy Birthday to me. He led the whole theatre in a Happy Birthday to me. A cake was brought out. It was the weirdest night of my life. It was surreal. It was funny. I got on very well with him. We had a laugh. The surprise was slightly ruined because when I got in to my dressing room, which Catherine came in because I introduced her to Kelsey. You liked him, didn't you?
I thought he was very charming.
Very charming man. And very, was talking to us. It
and
wasn't.
He remembered what my name was.
Yeah, old school.
When we saw him again at the end of the show, which always makes
And he engaged with us. It wasn't hey, this is my producer, Catherine. Oh, hi, nice to meet you. Anyway, he spoke to you.
Yeah, he did. It was nice.
The call sheet, I got in and the call sheet said 6 o'clock, Kelsey and Ian arrive. 7:15, they're mic'd up. 7:20, sound check. 7:30, show starts. 9 o'clock, show ends with a surprise ending. Right,
written down.
And I'm thinking, come on, man. What else? And I said to the guy that was running it, Rocco, I said, Rocco, where's the surprise ending? Oh, nothing, don't worry about it. Thinking, right, well, they're going to sing Happy Birthday to me. Now I've got to do my surprise face.
I thought he's going to walk off.
And here's another thing as well. I was given a very, very generous present, right? It's beautiful. A lot of work went into it. I'll find the name of the guy that did it because he deserves a little bit of credit. But I was given a huge canvas portrait of me, of actual me. And it's stunning and it's beautiful. And I met the artist there who gave it to me and I was blown away. And I said, thank you very much. And we chatted and I retweeted him. I'm going to find his Twitter in a second. And all the time I'm thinking, oh, there we go. Craig James Art. Craig, thank you. It's lovely. It's stunning. You've obviously put a lot of work into that. Thank you. And I'm thinking, all the time on there, I'm thinking, what the bloody hell am I going to do with this? Where am I going to put this? And I went into Kelsey's dressing room later on, and he had one. And someone said to him, Kelsey, where are you going to put it? He said, well, I'm not the kind of guy that has a house full of pictures of me, so I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do with it. I said, Kelsey, I'm the same. Why don't we swap? He ignored that suggestion, probably for the best. But I don't have any pictures. I have pictures of my kids. I have some art done by Imani and Narina and Dan. But that's it. No pictures of me. So I'm kind of wondering, well, where do I put it? Where would you put it, Stephen? A big portrait of you.
I have got a caricature of the wife and I in the dining room, which is quite nice. Dining room's a good place.
Well, the dining room, I don't have a dining room. The dining room is my office.
Well, that's good too.
Well, but it would just, I just worry someone comes in and sees it and goes, oh, you're a tosser.
Toilet?
Well, the toilet, I mean, the toilet is where I've got my my wards for the radio, you know, the poster awards.
Well, then why not? The shrine to you?
Well, that means I'd have to take down my Baha Men platinum cassette for over 1 million sales of Who Let the Dogs Out, which I'm not actually that keen to do. That's a genuine thing I've got in there.
Yeah, I know, and that is a huge sacrifice, but I think it might be worth it.
No, because it's opposite the toilets. Every time anyone in my house sits down, I will be looking over them. No, it's not happening. Anyway, Stephen, you think there was an awkward moment last night, do you?
No, I just, there were a couple of moments where he just, wasn't he charming?
Yeah.
He was a lovely man. Yeah. And you did a brilliant job, but sometimes you didn't need to ask him any questions.
Oh, I had to do hardly anything. Yeah, he just went. I did have to do very, very little.
And there were a couple of moments where I just thought okay, he didn't want to speak. And I thought you just caught him with the cocaine question. He didn't seem to be expecting it. And I just thought, that's a bit thing.
Well, I can tell you, he was expecting it.
Oh, okay.
He was expecting it because I'd met him for an hour about a couple of weeks ago. By the way, Russ, Sharon, Alan, stay there. We'll come to you in a bit. I met him for about an hour a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about what we could talk about. And I said, "Is there anything you don't want me to talk about?" He said, "No, you can ask me anything." I said, "Amazing. Really?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "I would be really interested in talking about your sister, Karen." Mm. She was the sister who was raped and murdered when she was 17. But I understand if you don't want to go there. He said, no, it would be my pleasure to talk about my wonderful sister on stage.
And it was beautiful how emotional he got when he talked about it.
And then in the meeting, we talked about cocaine, you know, because he was a cocaine addict. I'm a cocaine addict. He was drinking a gin and tonic. I said, oh, I notice you're still drinking. I can't drink. And we chatted about it. And I said, are you cool about me talking about drugs? He said, yes.
Cool.
So he was up for it. I think he misinterpreted my question.
Maybe.
I think he misinterpreted the story about telling the writers what to do.
Maybe.
And I said, was that when you were coked up? He said, no, that's just me leading the ship. Mm. So I think maybe, but then also, you know, your experience is different from mine. You know, you were watching it, man. You
but
paid.
You know what? Really enjoyed it. And I was reading your Twitter. You were nervous about it.
Yes.
But you came over so well. I'm not going to bumble it anymore. I'm just going to say you did brilliantly.
Thank you.
It was awesome. So
Stephen,
that's it. I'm done.
Thank you.
But there were just some bit takeaways that I came away with and thought, I need to call in and debrief.
Go on. And you will talk to Dredge about it, because Dredge, you were there last night as well. But Dredge managed, I don't know how, but managed to sneak in to the queue for the photos, didn't you, Dredge?
Yeah. I mean, I got really befuddled after getting a photo with him. Very befuddled.
In what way before? So there's this event, and so afterwards, some people who had paid and some people who hadn't, Dredge, and my sister, actually, I'll be honest, and Catherine, I'll be honest. I just pushed them in the line. I didn't know if we'd get chucked out or not, and we didn't. But they got professional photo done with him, and it's great. I've seen the picture of you, Dredge. It's great.
Well, then, you know, I went downstairs. They said, oh, you get your photo downstairs, mate, or something. So I went downstairs. And this woman gave me the photo, and I was so befuddled, I said to her, thank you, sir.
Well, that's a nice befuddlement. Befuddled in a good way, I'm hoping.
But it was great. And here's tonight's quiz, by the way.
Yep.
What is the link between Kelsey Grammer and Eddie Large?
Oh, well, I know the answer.
So do I. That
Stephen,
came up last night.
Stephen, you know the answer.
Yeah.
Who'd have thought Eddie Large would get mentioned in an evening like that?
I did.
Did you?
I just had a feeling about it.
0344-499-1000, the connection between... And it's a good one. It's a legitimate one.
What I liked about it was that you said, oh, he was a well-known comedian over here. And then Kelsey Grammer said, I've heard of him.
But here's the thing as well.
Really? Where exactly have you heard of Little and Large?
Nicholas Lyndhurst might be in the new Frasier. That's what he was hinting at, wasn't it?
I think he will be. Or there's going to be some kind of Fools and Horses Frasier crossover.
Oh,
Either way, it's just a world I need to see.
It's going to be. Anyway, Stephen, you had some questions. Go on.
Not questions, just things I'm still thinking about. A phrase that I have stolen from him, without question... When he was talking about the guy that was the voice of Sideshow Bob,
and he used
the phrase, which is just a beauty, he was beyond any working definition of gay.
Oh, it was a great line.
What a line.
A great line. I tell you the bit that was uncomfortable for me.
Yeah.
And this is where I sat back and I think I actually crossed my arms and thought, I'm not saying anything. His semi-defence of Harvey Weinstein.
I knew that was going to be my second awkward thing to bring up. I thought you were going to let rip, actually.
I couldn't. I couldn't because it was inappropriate. He had a cautious defence. I suspect if he had gone much further, I possibly would have had to say something. But I'm also aware some people paid 200 quid for a ticket and I don't feel it was a huge betrayal for me to keep quiet. I think my face expressed enough. You know, if he'd gone into a full-blown defence of Weinstein, I would have said, well, there are a number of people who disagree, and it is, of course, going to court, which implies that perhaps there is some kind of, you know, he's been accused of rape and it's not just sexual misdemeanour and la, 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 la. So there was that. Go on.
He mildly sort of dismissed it, didn't he? I don't know anything about his personal life. He's a great director, and then just sort of moved on, which is good. That's the word. The Christopher Plummer story was brilliant.
Yep.
That's another good phone-in, actually. What's the link between Kelsey Grammer and Christopher Plummer?
What is the difference between Kelsey Grammer and Christopher?
No, not the difference.
Oh, what's the link? Oh, yeah.
Amazing story. And do you know what my sad takeaway was?
Go on.
The fact that Eddie the dog and Martin Crane didn't get on in real life.
I thought everyone knew that.
I didn't know that story.
Oh, well, I'm glad someone asked it, because I thought everyone knew that everyone hated the dog because he was a little SH1T.
Did you genuinely read his autobiography to find that?
Yeah, I didn't. That wasn't in the autobiography, I don't think, but I'd heard that story before. But I did read the autobiography. It's a cracking read. It's a really, really good read. I'm going to lend it to Dredge, then Dredge can pass it on to you if you want.
Yeah, please.
Really good read. Stephen, thank you very much. Dredge, anything else you want to add before, and then we should move on with the rest of the show?
Why did you ask him if he was difficult to work with? Was that implied in the book? That he was difficult.
No, maybe I messed the questioning up. That was the cocaine question. That was all to do with cocaine. Was he difficult? He kind of misunderstood that. The question was meant to be, were you difficult to work with when you were on cocaine? Because I've read a few accounts where people say he was, and he denied that, and that's absolutely fine. But it
couldn't have gone any better, really.
Thank you, mate.
I mean, what was very interesting was you didn't say very much, which was great.
Yeah.
I thought that was really appropriate, and that is what, you know, a really good interviewer does.
Well, we've all seen these Q&As where the bloke doing the questions talks more, and I'm not interested in the bloke doing the questions, even if it's a bloke who's on the jungle. I don't care. I'm here to see the fella sat on the left. So it was this was my thing from as soon as I knew I had the gig, was, right, it's not about me. All I've got to do is make him look good. So I did all of the research. I knew as much as I could know, which meant that if he went off on a tangent, I could keep up with him for most of it and go, oh, and what about this? Weren't you struck by lightning? Didn't you think you were Jesus? Which he did when he was a kid. He downplayed that, I tell you. And then it's not about me. I got a couple of laughs in. Beautiful.
Can I just say, I'm doing a meet and greet tomorrow if anyone wants to come along.
Oh.
£30 for a photo round back of Sainsbury's. Is that all right?
Okay, beautiful. Dredge, thank you very much indeed. So that's Dredge. It's going to be round the back of Sainsbury's in London. I think you probably all know it. And he'll be doing a meet and greet. Right, we got Russ. We got Sharon. We got Alan. We got Jerry. We got a show. We got a show, Catherine. This is good. I'm talking too much. I want to hear your lovely Lancashire tones, you wee Yorkshire lass.
I'm not from Yorkshire.
Oh, you...
Huh?
Yes, well, you're from that way. I'm from Yorkshire, I am wee lassie. I'm a wee lassie from Yorkshire. And that's exactly where I'm from. And I got a Yorkshire pudding for my tea. So we're looking forward to hearing you speak in a little bit. This is the Late Night Alternative. This is the Late Night Alternative on Talk Radio.
The late night lip service for lovers, loners, and lounge lizards.
Yeah, well, where exactly is your accent from?
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Oh, I've forgotten your name already, excuse me.
On Talk Radio.
And here's the decision I made about the show, right? I was thinking about this. This kind of struck me the other day when I was listening to Nick Abbott. And a caller phoned up. Ken from Newcastle phoned up to complain about the naked bike riders. There were like 300 naked bike riders. Dirty. I mean, they are just disgusting. But 300 naked bike riders. And I thought, I feel a little bit uncomfortable saying this while he's not here. I was hoping he'd phone up so we could have this conversation, but you can't have a conversation, so we'll do it. By letting him come on and spout his horrific homophobic views, are we, and having, but kind of laughing at him, are we, in a way, doing what everyone did with Anjam Chowdhury?
Mm.
And Anjam Chowdhury was on all the phone-in shows.
Because he would say something outrageous and the phones would go nuts.
Yeah, and we turned him down. We got in trouble at Three Counties because we said, well, actually, he was booked as a guest. We said, we don't want him. He's booked, don't want him. And
he's not the only one.
With Tommy Robinson as well. We made a stand. No one else at that station would. They said, yeah, but you'll get the phones ringing. I'll get the phones ringing, mate.
You'll get the phones ringing with what?
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'll get the phones ringing and it won't be with hatred. And so we made the decision not to have him on. And when he got done, I can't remember what he got done for in the end, there were a lot of people that were going, well, we shouldn't have been letting him on the radio. And we went, yeah, we didn't. But he was there as like a figure of fun. He was the comedy
Yeah.
Jihadist, Islamist.
And it was an easy...
Islamist extremist.
It was an easy way to get phone calls. And so, that seemed to be the aim of the game.
And I just been thinking a lot since I heard... Hearing... Because I've not really heard Ken as a caller. I hear him when he's on James's show, but I'm in the office, so I'm not really listening. This was me in bed, listening on the radio. And what I heard was not Christian love. It was anger and it was hatred. And it was horrible to listen. It was a toxic listen. And Nick was having fun with him. Nick Abbott, who I think is great, was kind of laughing at him and winding him up and saying, yeah, I agree with you having these people on the bikes is wrong, but what's your problem? And it just didn't sound right to me. And so I don't think we should let Ken on anymore. His calls are never very interesting anyway. Just in the light of stuff that I'm going through, which I might talk about at some point, also in the light of I can't stop thinking about those women on that bus.
Yep.
It's really upset me. It's really upset me, actually. And I can't help thinking that maybe allowing people on like Ken is adding to the problem ever so slightly. It's just adding a little bit of poison to the collective pot of what we've got and is making... It's normalising homophobia.
Here's the deal. If we had someone coming on all the time and you knew what they were going to say was going to be racist every time, you wouldn't have them on.
Yeah.
So why is it any different?
So I'm don't cool have them on. With it. It's not great calls. We've had this...
You can't have a conversation with him.
No.
There is no reasoning. Sometimes I'm interested in hearing where these views come from. I don't know anything about Ken and he's been phoning us for years.
Yeah, you're right. All right. Fine, good. I'm glad. I suspected you would agree. And I'm glad. It just really bothered me. It sat in bed and he came on and I went, oh, I'm going to listen to this. And it was unpleasant. It was dark. And I thought the rhetoric was dangerous.
Right. And, you know, in light of, you know, the fact we've got gay pride is in the news again and there's people, dickheads, saying that we need to have straight pride and all that kind of thing.
Well, someone corrected me. I shouldn't call it gay pride. It's pride.
Okay.
And I kind of bristled when they said that.
No, actually, I get it because it encompasses all sorts of other things. So forgive me for that, yeah. But because of that, you've got a load of people talking about, oh, well, what about everyone else? No, hang on. We're still in a situation where there are people living lives that are not comfortable with and that make them want to kill themselves,
yeah.
Right? And so while people are still living in darkness because of the fear of what other people will say or do to them if they find out the truth, then we treat them with respect.
Hmm. Cool. All right. Good. Let's try.
Because you know what? Not everyone is on the back of a float with a feather boa.
Yeah, exactly. And when I saw Pride in New York, it's really weird that it's all sponsored by, like, there's the Barclays float, there's the American Airlines float.
Didn't M&S do an LGBTQ sandwich?
I thought that was quite funny, but it's just these big corporate things. And it is, I think.
Do you know what? Groovy. Awareness is awareness. Yeah, money is money. I do. If it helps them put something on, that's great.
You're right.
But be aware that they're doing it for their own reasons.
Exactly. The Barclays is doing it because they're going to be making money out of it somehow. You're going to get the pink pound. Don't see pink pounds anymore, do you? All right. Well, that decision is made. Thank you for that. I'd say I feel slightly uncomfortable doing it behind his back. I would prefer he called on and we could have had that.
I think we've pretty much had that conversation before.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, it's the decision is made. Let's go to Sam. Good evening, Sam. Hey, Sam. Hello.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, but not very well. Are you on speakerphone?
I'm on. 1 second, please. Okay. iPhone. Is that better?
Yeah. There we go. At last, okay. We get to speak. We can Hallelujah. Speak. Hallelujah, brother. What's going on? What's happening?
I'm just watching. Bash me up and close the line on me. Just give me a second. This might fit in with what things are being said today. Discussion. I have a very highly addictive personality.
Right.
And there's something going on at the moment that's quite coincidental with what you're talking about. Cut it short. I was admitted to hospital recently.
Yeah.
And I've been there for 4 weeks, 5 weeks, as a result of my habit that led me almost to the edge of death. I was anemic, very anemic. Point being, I was addicted to over-the-counter drugs.
Okay.
Nurofen Plus.
Yeah, yeah.
Which has codeine. And for a number of years, many years,
over a decade. It was something that's part of my, God, I can't believe I'm saying this, part of my life, part of my identity, crazy amounts, and it was something I had to take to function. I also had the ability to cut things out. So, yes, I am, like you mentioned, a lot addicted to anything. I can get addicted to anything very quickly.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but for example, hash, I was smoking that since I was 14. The day I decided to cut it off, I cut it off, and no symptoms. What I'm trying to get at to is I'm at this point now where it was fortunate, unfortunate, and fortunate the same way that I was admitted to hospital with this. The symptoms, of course, I'm hiding from the doctors. To them, it's a mystery why I became anemic. I mean, the doctor even said, I've never seen a case like you. The last case I saw like you was somebody in Calcutta, i.e. the levels
this
of...
Is, this is, these are the kind of things, part of you is inside going, wow, I'm the worst they've ever seen.
I'm a medical miracle.
Yeah, and then the rest of you is going, oh, man, I'm dying. Okay, right, fine, yeah.
And the only reason I went to hospital was I was falling. I was just literally walking a few metres and falling. My body had no hemoglobin in it, no any... I hope none of the nurses are hearing this. Anyway, the 4 weeks helped because the withdrawal symptoms and so on are very harsh, and being in hospital environment, it helped. And towards the end of the 4 weeks, of course, while I'm in hospital, I can't take these pills, so it helped me get off them.
Mm.
It was wonderful. And I'm only talking now literally this month, so I'm talking something that's very fresh. I'm a week out of hospital. This is where the reason I'm calling. I started to feel much better in myself, started to get my mind back together, starting to feel I no longer need this rubbish.
Then you went and bought some?
No.
No, you haven't?
I'll get to that.
Okay, okay.
Towards the end, they did a procedure, a couple of procedures that needed painkillers.
Yeah.
So the hospitals themselves have prescribed to me codeine, pure codeine, as in without the Nurofen.
Okay, that's the okay.
And then that started, the little devil inside of me started, trying to get more than what I want, confused the nurses, oh, you didn't give me the last one, whatever. Just the drug taker in me started to want that thing. It wasn't, it's just the addiction thing. And then, I was able to, unfortunately, nick a couple of off the I'm being honest now.
No, I appreciate your honesty, man. I really appreciate it.
Just to work out, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't give me a high. It just makes me, you wouldn't understand. I believe I would buy 32, 64, between, 3-4 large packets of Nurofen packets a day just to be normal.
And you, of course, they will only sell you, as I find frustrating, they'll only sell you one packet in each boot. So you're like going from boots down to the pharmacy, down to the next one, down to Superdrug.
Something like that. Plus, the occasional chemist, so you become friendly with.
Here's the thing, we put in so much effort in being a junkie. So much effort, man. It's such hard work.
And some of these chemists, you get friendly with them over the years. They'll give you 2 or 3 packets. They know you.
So where are you now, Sam? Where are you now?
This is why I'm calling. This is where I'm really confused, because I've never taken codeine in this pure form. I came out of the hospital, went to my friendly pharmacy. I'm now able to buy whatever quantity I want. Phosphate codeine pills, 30 milligrams, 60 milligrams. I'm getting them, and I feel like shit, man. I'm doing this all again. I broke the habit. Sorry for the word.
That's okay.
Sorry. And then it's not giving me the same feeling I was getting when I was taking Nurofen Plus. Now I'm going back into combining codeine with codeine plus over the counter. And the whole thing's a mess. And I feel like really, really, really bad with myself. Really bad.
Okay, well, so you're feeling a lot of shame.
I don't even know why I'm saying this on the phone, and this must be...
Well, I'm really glad you're saying this on the phone, because a lot of people think that you can only be addicted to, coke or heroin. They don't realise that you can be addicted to stuff that you can buy in Superdrug.
The codeine thing is a massive problem in the States.
Huge problem. I know a lot of recovering addicts who are really nervous about taking prescription medication for that. that reason. So what do you want? What do you want to do, Sam?
In A&E, I was told the girls admitted, my wife was with me. Had I not come that day, say a week had passed, I would have died.
Yeah. Well, you know you're killing yourself now, right?
Now on the precipice of going back to the process of killing myself.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you're killing yourself. By taking them, you're killing yourself, right? You know that, and the fact that you were in hospital a while ago means, yeah, you probably feel physically better, but you ain't what you were 10 years ago. Your insides, I would imagine, with that much Nurofen, are probably screwed up.
I'm not there yet. And the reason I'm making this call, why, I mean, you put it karma, call it nature, the discussions you're having tonight touch a sensitive point. And I feel I'm going back to where I was again.
Okay.
I don't want to go back
so
to there again.
How are you going to try and stop it, Sam?
My problem is, it's not what you were saying earlier. I need it for the confidence. I am genuinely a confident person, but I'm an introvert. The work I do demands that I be social and be able to talk. And I kind of lean on these things. It makes me talk. It makes me talk the way I want to talk. And when I'm not on these things, I find being able to talk very difficult.
But you know that's a con, right? Here's the thing I learned. All the stuff that cocaine allowed me to do was, it's going to sound so cheesy, was within me already. All of that stuff, to have sex, to speak to women, to be funny on stage, all of that stuff was within me.
As in the placebo, you mean?
Not quite a placebo, because it just sped up everything I was looking for. Yes, cocaine gave me those things, but it was fake. It was fake. Everything it gave me was fake. It was fake energy that I was borrowing from the future, right? All of those things, I've been considerably more successful since I stopped doing cocaine. I'm considerably more confident now that I don't do cocaine. I'm considerably sexier. I'm funnier. I can look people in the eye, you know. So all of these things that you're getting from codeine, is within you. So you need to work out how you're going to stop taking it.
Yeah, I'll give you an example on a typical day pre-hospital.
Yeah.
I wake up, get in my car, on the way to the office, I have a box of, say, two tablets.
Yeah.
By the time I get to the tablet, and it's made up of four 16 things, what are they called? Strips.
Yeah.
I'll have three strips.
It's making my stomach ache just thinking about
doesn't
it.
Doesn't that burn?
That's where the...
Okay, listen. We don't need to go. I get it. You're in trouble and you want to stop. I don't need to know that.
My body's leaking blood somewhere.
Yeah, Sam, you're going to die. Listen, we don't need to hear the war stories. It sounds horrendous, all right? It sounds horrendous. So what are you going to do to stop it, to sort it out?
You know what's scaring me most is I've never, ever taken codeine in its purest form.
Okay.
And this is my first week.
Okay. Well, then this is your first week. This is good. This means that we're in early.
It's scaring me very
much. Sam, I'm going to ask you for the fourth time.
So?
No. I'm enjoying the fact that you're avoiding the question, because this is what we do. What are you going to do to stop it?
I just did one step, coolly and lean. That's the first step.
That's a great step. What's step number two?
I don't know how to talk to myself. I don't know how to convince myself.
You can't do it. I don't think you can do it on your own. Does your wife know?
It's one of those things where she knows, but I don't want her to know.
Yeah.
She does my head in, and I, of course, am always defensive.
Now, when you say she does your head in, is that because she's telling you to stop taking drugs?
Yes, and I'm always defensive. I don't.
Yeah, but you're lying. You're lying to her.
You know why? Because your addiction... Yeah. That addiction wants to kill you, and it knows that she's the enemy. Because without her, it can take control.
You...
I mean, if I had to put up with me all these years, I've been a fool at times. I've overdone it and mixed it with alcohol, and I've been the fool of...
She must love you very much, and she must be an incredible person.
And we had beautiful kids, yeah.
Good. All right. Well, listen, you don't want to die for the kids. If there's anything that's going to keep you alive at the moment, you've got to do it for yourself. But let's focus on the kids. So you need to stop taking this, right? I would suggest, these are my suggestions. These are my suggestions, right? My suggestions are speak to your doctor.
can't.
Why?
I just can't do
Why?
It. I don't know.
Because they'll stop you from killing yourself.
And what are they going to say? Don't smoke cigarettes. Don't do all the stuff that you say, the boring stuff.
I don't know what your doctor's going to say. You don't know what your doctor's going to say. But you're scared of him just saying you've got to stop? You're scared of that?
So he's going to say it, and then what happens? That isn't going to. How's that going to benefit me?
Okay, because he's going to know the problem, and it means that in the future, once you get a grip on this, he won't prescribe you codeine-based pain relief.
Right.
So this is sowing the seeds for the future.
My brain is finding sneaky ways to get it. Nobody's prescribing
Here's
it.
Here's the thing. Your brain is evading every suggestion. Why have you phoned me? Because you're avoiding every suggestion I'm making that might help you beat this. So why did you phone me? What did you think was going to happen in this phone call?
Good question.
It's a great question. I ask the best questions.
Maybe because I've been listening to you for about 20 years now. I don't know, Ian.
Why did you pick up the phone and call me? And then not only that, you then called me back. You pulled over and then you called us back. So you wanted to speak to me. So why?
Because it's happening at this moment now. You understand?
Yeah.
The last 3 days, I didn't want to get out of the house. I didn't want to take anything, so I just decided to sleep. I don't want to take them. So I just slept. Avoid the whole thing.
All I can do, Sam, is tell you what I did.
You should close the phone on me because I'm boring.
Shut up, man. You're not boring. You're a brother in pain. I'm going to close the phone on you a bit because we're coming to the end of the show. But I'm not going to. You're not boring. Who cares about boring? It's life, man.
I warn people out there. Drugs aren't just.
A don't. No. 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 I don't want you. I don't. I don't want you. Sam.
Little red box.
Sam.
The chemist.
Shut up.
That little red box in the chemist. Man, it's like, oh, beauty. I want that.
Yeah.
Oh,
exactly.
Plus, give it to me.
Exactly.
It's just terrible.
All I can do is tell you how I stopped taking drugs.
Yeah.
And you'll find a way to ignore it.
Yeah. No, go, please, Ed. No, go ahead. I'm not like that.
Okay. I told the girl I was living with at the time that I thought I had a drug problem. Yeah. Initially, she was furious with me. She was furious with me for wasting time and money and lying to her. That was the first day. Second day... She shouted at me. Second day, she said, right, okay, what are we going to do? So, boom, within 24 hours, she was on side. Then we got in touch with Narcotics Anonymous and I started going to meetings. And I went to meetings for 16 months thinking I could cheat it, thinking I could just, like, do a line every couple of weeks, thinking I could still smoke weed, thinking I could stop taking drugs, but I could drink, thinking all of that stuff. And then after 16 months, it hit me. I went, oh, right, I've got to stop everything. And then I stopped everything after 16 months of going to meetings, trying to swerve it, trying to wriggle out of it, listening to the bits that I thought I wanted to hear and not the other bits. But that's how I did it, is I told my partner, my girlfriend, person I was living with, and I went to meetings. That's how I did it. Because you sit and share, you share with like-minded people who are in a similar situation. And there are heroin addicts who have been homeless. There are cocaine addicts who are driving taxis. There are rock stars. There are old women who are drunks and do cocaine. There are, do Valium. There are people that have still got really good jobs and are addicted to over-the-counter medicines. Everybody's there. And you listen for the similarities and not the differences. And it works, man. I got 13 years clean and then I stopped going to meetings and I picked up drugs again and started using coke again because my head lies to me.
I attended once and it's the whole thing. I was just being judgmental. Are you bloody who's whatever.
Some of them are losers. Well, they're not losers because they're sat in the room.
No, I'm not being mean.
No. I know what you mean. It's hard not to.
Just the whole thing to me was nonsense. Yeah. I mean, I didn't get anything out the first meeting and I walked out. I mean, I don't want to hear all this.
Whereabouts do you live, man?
And I was saying to myself, this isn't me. I'm not like them.
Don't tell me exactly, but roughly, where do you live in London?
Kind of way, in a way, I tweeted you a few months ago, Raffaro, in that cut off. You won't remember.
I don't remember.
I remember.
What was this? What did he tweet?
Yeah. Raffaro, I remember this.
That's it, yeah.
I don't remember this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Where are you? Where are you, in London?
North London, yeah.
North London, right.
Yeah.
Hang on a minute. Right. Yeah, sure. Do you work?
I run a company, unfortunately. Right.
Okay, so you can get out of work if you needed to, yeah?
I can, yeah.
Okay. Hang on a minute. I'm having a little look-see.
Mm-mm. And that's the other thing, is being successful.
Sorry about it. I was a big star.
Well, under the influence of all this stuff and being successful, another fear of me leaving this stuff is perhaps I got to where I am.
No, you did. You did it despite it.
Yeah. Or because of it.
No, balls. That's not a great one. Hang on a minute. Okay. Well, so what are you doing Wednesday at 5:30?
Whatever I need to do, you tell me.
Can you get to...
Yeah? Why? What?
So come to a meeting with me?
Okay. Please explain. Yeah, I don't mind.
I'm going at Wednesday, 5:30, I'm going to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. Would you like to join me? How much do you want it?
I don't want to be in this anymore. I just want to be flipping like everybody else. I just want to be taking drugs.
Well, you're not going to be like everyone else, unfortunately. We're not like everyone else. We got special gifts. We got powers. We've got superpowers.
I don't want to be taking drugs anymore. I'm too old for this. I just want to give up, man. I just want to be normal without
Sam,
rely on something else.
Sam, we have to go because the show is coming to an end.
Yeah, I get it. Sorry.
No, you've got nothing to apologise for. I'm going to be at a meeting at 5:30 on Wednesday. If you want to come, give me a call tomorrow between 10 and 1.
Okay.
All right, if you give me a call between 10 and 1 tomorrow night during the show.
Yeah. Okay.
And that, so you've got 24 hours. I don't want to bully you or anything. So you've got 24 hours. You want to come, give me a call tomorrow night and we'll talk. Come on air and I'll give you my number or something and we'll text each other and then I'll meet you outside the meeting and I'll go in with you. It's a funny little meeting. It's a tiny one. It's really tiny and it's weird. I like it because it's weird and there are some weirdos there. But it's a good meeting. There's a lot of clean time in there.
Okay.
But I'm not going to bully you. I would never pressure you to do this or not. If you want to come, call me tomorrow night between 10 and 1.
Just call like I just called now.
Call now. Come on the air and either say, yeah, I'm up for it, or look, I don't fancy that. And that's fine. I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to criticise you.
Let me think about it. If I call, that means I'm up for it. If you just tell me one thing, what is it? You said something I didn't hear. It's a what meeting?
Narcotics Anonymous. It's like Alcoholics Anonymous, but for drugs.
Okay, cool. All right, then. I'll call you tomorrow.
Have a little... Sam, go online. Google Narcotics Anonymous.
Yeah.
Right? Just Google. Yeah. I think it's ukna.org. But just Google it. Go to their homepage, and there's a few questions on the front page. Am I an addict? Just answer the questions.
Okay.
And if you don't want to do it tomorrow, well, there's meetings every night, so we can sort something else out. Or we don't sort anything else out.
You personally still go after you've stopped everything? You still go? Really?
Yeah. When I stopped, I picked up again. Sam, look, I have to go because I've got to go to the news. I really hope I get to speak to you tomorrow, man.
I appreciate that.
Thank you, man, very much.
Sorry, everybody boring you. Sorry.
Shut up.
No, do you know what? There'll be people listening to that are in the same position.
Thank you, Sam. I appreciate your honesty. And I'm sorry we've got to end it there, but we've got to do that. We haven't got time, I'm afraid, mate. That's just the way it goes sometimes. We will be back tonight at 10. Thank you, Catherine. Thank you, James. Paul Ross is up next, dear listener. This is Talk Radio.
Experience the unconventional.
Evening, boss.
The unpredictable.
What's happening?
And the completely unorthodox.
Exactly.
With rule-free Ian Lee. The Late Night Alternative. With Ian Lee.
I've got no internet for the last 4 days.
On Talk Radio.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.